So, hi. Welcome back. State of the heart. Who's being helped by this message? That's good. That's everybody. None more than me, probably, or maybe more than me. I don't know, but let me just speak for me. Just sitting with God and going through this season, not just a message, because to me, messages are seasonal. Don't mean that they don't work for your whole life, but especially here, I try to seek the Lord for the message that's in due season for where you are, where we are right now. Lately, I've fasted the news. I intentionally fasted the news. And I did with a reason, with a very clear reason in my heart. That reason was I saw that the news was influencing my heart. I never realized how the news is designed to influence your heart. Think about it. It garners a reaction every time you watch it. They intentionally do so. They have a whole thing of bad news, and then they'll throw a little puppy story somewhere in there, and that's their feel-good moment, right? That's the feel-good segment. So basically, we have to give you a feel-good segment because everything else is bad. But what the truth of the matter is, the focus needs to be on the bad in order for them to get viewers and ratings. That's what people tune in to watch. So when it first comes on, I'm not trying to do a message on the news. I'm just trying to make a point of revelation that came to me. Watch it, don't watch it. I'm not teaching don't watch the news. I'm just telling you the revelation that came to me. Is that okay? Okay. So it comes on, and they say, at 11, child dies, car run away, a bomb exploded, such and such is being indicted, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and more. And then weather, right? Well, so I've been set up before it even starts that there's a lot of negativity, and I'm intrigued now because I've been given just enough negativity to excite me to see what this negativity is about. And, of course, the real negative story is not going to come to later, so you got to watch all the other junk before you get to that main headline story. And so I realized even reading news, I had to not read it on my phone because depending on whose side they're on, Trump said this, they said this, this one got indicted, this one's getting served time, this one's going away. So now it looks like it could be bad for him. And I finally said, if I'm teaching about the state of my heart, then I need to guard my heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of the life. That's what the Bible says. The issues of my life flow out of my heart, so then I need to be very careful of what's coming out of my heart. Well, what's coming out of my heart is what I feed into my heart, what I meditate on. So because I've been very, very focused in this season on hearing the voice of God and being sensitive to the voice of God and knowing what God is saying, I really made a decision to block things out that would take time away from me being filled with the presence and the voice and the heart of God. Well, why do you fast? You know, you try to keep the urges of your flesh from overpowering your desires of your spirit. That's what people believe they do. People say, I fast to hear God. It's like, no, you fast so that you say no to the desires of the flesh so that you can be more in tune with your spirit. That's the reason for fasting. Everybody disagree with that? Well, same thing is visual. And it's more important to me because what I eat, I poop out. What you take in your eyes remains. You see some horrible image, you remember that image for the rest of your life. So I decided I just wanted my heart to be clear. I'm not saying I don't see news. I don't hear news, of course. If it comes on in the house and I hear it, you know, I usually flip the channels if it comes on my TV. My TV don't have news. I watch Cartoon Network, so it don't have news. And Nickelodeon, they don't have news. But if it pops up on my one of my devices and stuff, I just kind of, whatever, and flick it off. Now, I'm finished with all that, but here's what I'm saying. I want to be sensitive to the state of my heart. So then I want to be sensitive to what's fed into it. Are you listening to me? Not just by news, but by news-bearing, gossip-carrying people, Christians included. I want to be very careful. I want you to hear this, God. Please let them hear what I'm trying to say here, because I don't know if I'm saying the right words, but I know what's coming out of me. I know what I'm trying to get across. Your spirit or your heart is the container that carries your faith. Remember, we went through the whole difference between your heart last week. Your heart is not the beating thing that is two different hearts. It's the heart that's referred to the core of you or your spiritual senses and awareness. And then there's your heart that pumps blood to you. And both of them are valuable for you to live. We went through that last week. Eating the wrong food, not taking care of yourself, will cause damage to the natural heart. And if you cause damage to the natural heart, you have something called a heart attack. The heart attacks. It's not the heart attacking, it's you attack the heart and the heart is retaliating. They should call it a heart retaliation, not a heart attack. Right? And you hit me first, I hit you back. Now, in the realm of what you take into your other heart, could there be the same consequences? Could you have a spiritual heart attack? That's the point I'm trying to make today. I want to make sure that the diet that I'm feeding my spirit, my heart, is healthy. It's been mixed for too long, and most of it, from what I can see at this stage in my life and what God is having me walk through, it's been a majority, listen close to what I'm about to say, junk food diet. Think about the majority of your conversations. Think about the majority of the people you speak to, the majority of what we watch on TV or listen to. Think about if you just run into somebody on the train, the elevator, or whatever, and they start having a conversation with you, most of the diet is junk food. Junk food. Which record is hot? Which person could rap? Who's better, Nicki or Cardi? No, let's keep it real. Go on social media. Post something positive. How many responses you get? Post something negative. How many responses you get? You follow what I'm saying? It's a junk food diet to our spirit that's being pushed on us, just like it's being pushed on us in the natural. Designed to create bad health and eventually cause a heart attack. So I'm going to do a message about the state of the heart without first talking about a heart healthy diet. That's like me telling you, you need to exercise, but never telling you, but you won't need as much of that if you stop eating like this. Eating and diet for me has always been a struggle, always been an issue. It's not any longer. But that's a lot of years of doing it wrong. And by God's grace and wisdom, I had to condition myself and create new habits where I eat and treated my body right. So Esther asked the questions more. She said, "You, every time I see you, look smaller. How small are you going to get?" And I was like, "I don't even look at it anymore. I'm not even caring about the scale anymore." You got to listen to what I'm saying to you. I'm telling you the truth. I've taught myself by the Spirit of God to eat a certain way and to conduct myself a certain way, and where my body winds up, it winds up. I'm no longer counting. They say you're not really delivered from alcoholism until you get to the place where you're no longer counting the days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm no longer counting it. Just living like I'm living, and let's see where it goes. When it comes to our spiritual state, though, are we being that careful? I don't want to keep preaching to you nutritious meals on Sunday, and then all week you got junk food. It's counteracting everything I'm trying to do here on Sunday. So I'm asking you to guard your heart with all diligence. Be careful. I'm to the place now, people come up to me and they want to start talking stupidness. I'm like, living my best life. You can finish the rest of it. I have time for all of this. This is junk. This is junk. I have time for this. It. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to eat that. So I'm asking you as your pastor, begin to just monitor. I'm not telling you to fast news. That's what I felt led to fast. But begin to guard what's being fed into your spirit, because it's counterproductive to what you're learning today and what you're learning here in the house right now. And you're learning great stuff. And I asked you how many of you are getting something from this message, and every hand went up. But what I want you to understand is the enemy is at work to contradict what you're learning. He's at work to keep you normal, to keep you average, to keep you functioning and surviving off a fast microwave life spirit food. That's why, no disrespect to pastors, maybe a little bit, who knows, we'll see, I'll say it and we'll see where it goes. That's why you find pastors will teach the same message that every other pastor's teaching when you turn on the TV, whatever the hot message is, everybody's on it. Why? Because they want to give you that fast food garbage, because they don't want to take the time to prepare a real meal and feed you, so they're going to find what's hot and what the hot topic is, and they all want to get on TV and they want to talk about, oh, it's about Jabez now, let's all talk about Jabez. You know, and when Derek Prince came forward, from a sincere place teaching on grace, everybody said, ooh, he's getting big off of the grace message, so now everybody's doing grace. You can tell it ain't studied. You can tell they just, let's look up the word grace and let's just teach on it. Again, not trying to diss. They can feed their kids how they want. I have a responsibility to you. My thing is, I want us in this season that are believing. How many of us believing for great things now, especially really believing for great things from God? You really are. Then I'm urging you as your pastor to guard what you're eating. Watch what's being fed into your heart, because that right there is designed to make you be more full of junk than you are of what you need, that is real nutrients and sustenance. Did I get my point across?
Yes.
Okay, good. So let's keep on feeding you now with some good nutrients. In this process of the state of my heart and the state of our hearts, I've come to the realization that God's communication through us is through our spirit. So when I say heart, spirit, I'm using them interchangeably, okay? God speaks to us through our heart or through our spirit. He speaks to us through our spirit. He ministers to our spirit. He is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in
spirit.
And so we have two profound revelations in front of us. He's a spirit. You can't worship him without spirit. Stay with me. Because the deception is we worship him, you listening to me? With emotion. Let's talk about church now. Let's be real. We don't worship him in spirit and truth. We worship him with emotion and feeling. That's what we've been fed. That's what we've been taught. Well, I felt God and tears was running down my face and I just got all emotional. Okay, I'm not speaking against you feeling some emotion, but if that's your telltale sign that you're hearing from God, I question whether you're really hearing from God. No, you didn't hear me. I know you didn't hear me. See, in spirit and in, if you cried and got emotional and felt good, but there was no truth revealed to you about who you are and where you are and where you need to go, I question if you really had a spiritual encounter at that moment. Question it. You had an emotional one, but you didn't have a spiritual one, because then truth would be revealed and you would be changed by that truth forever. We on the same page now? In other words, truth. Get yourself ready for what I'm about to say. Put your seatbelt on. Truth never gets along with the lie. They don't coexist. No. This goes against church stuff. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Truth is an enemy to the lie. It's a direct contradiction. They don't exist together. So that means, no. You're not getting me. That means that there's no negotiation. There's no compromise. There's no a little truth and a little lie, and we kind of mix it into it feels right for us, and then we live out of that. Truth comes and it disrupts. Say, truth disrupts. See, when God finally shows you who a person is, even though you go, yeah, but you know, if you really saw his heart, but if you really knew her like I knew her, but when truth exposes, you're like, oh, daggone. You're as everybody said you are. Because truth, you can't filter it anymore. Truth exposes the lie and it is radically opposed to it. So what I'm saying to you is, listen to me, saints, if you are in this place now that you're believing for great things, let me see how many hands again. Great things, believing for great things. If that's the truth, if when you put your hand up, you were telling me the truth and you were not lying, that's everybody in the room, right? That means that anything that is opposed to great things slightly has to be eradicated. That means any level of mediocrity or acceptance of anything beneath what God has called you to has to be put to death or removed. Thank you for joining me, bro. I wanted somebody to catch that. That means anything that makes me settle a little bit for the opposite of the greatness I'm believing for has to die. They can't live together. Ooh, I felt that go forward. I can't be kind of healed. I can't be kind of prosperous. I can't be somewhat at peace. I can't feel the peace after service and the message and we all danced around and sung. It can't be that peace. That peace has to be, he said, that your peace will come and that will remain. It's in total opposition to everything that is against God or anything that's a lie. It's violent. Truth is violent. See, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. And when he came into the temple and he saw them lying and exchanging money, he wasn't peaceful about it. He stopped flipping stuff over and beating people and chasing them out, because truth doesn't exist with the lie. So I have to guard my heart. Mitchell, don't you go to sleep on me. I'll come sit on your lap. No homo. I want to say, listen, this sphere that we live in has taught us to accept the greatness of God with limit. It's taught us that we are called to be great, but God wants us to have peace, but sometimes everything God promises is yours, but you know, he chooses certain people to kind of not be as gracious to. And even though we will say we don't believe that to be the truth, if we search our hearts, we'll find a lie that lives there that says that's never been evicted. I might just preach a little today. I'm coming to know this truth, and it's making me free. And I feel compelled to share it. When God began to have me examine the state of our hearts, he said, look not just at the part that you can clearly see, but let me expose to you the part that is lying dormant that you've accepted, even though you should not have accepted it. If you still live out of past hurts or things that were done to you in the past, there's a lie that still lives that you're not free from. My father hurt me when I was young. This person did this. And all those things still live and describing themselves as your personality. I am this way because of that. Then that is opposed to he who the Son makes free is free indeed. Or behold, you are a new creature. All things have passed away and all things become new. Is now nullified. There's a coexistence that cannot be. I am not the product of my environment. I am not the product of the situations I've been through. I am not the product of the hurts that I've experienced. I am a new creature in him, and God began to show me, but there are things that you live out of that are not out of your new born again experience, but out of your original experience, and that's in conflict with truth. But I've been wounded in the past, and you know, things I've been through. Okay, so which one are you then? Are you redeemed or are you condemned? You can't be both. It's not a happy place to live. You're a spiritual schizo. The church is full of them. Spiritual schizos. One moment they're free in Christ. Next moment they're a victim of what happened to them when they was a teenager. I'm not being insensitive. I'm telling you, these are the things the enemy uses to keep you from reaching the heights that you call to reach. So God began to show me myself. Some stuff I'm not going to tell you because I'm still sorting through it. And as I sort through it with him, let me not tell that lie. I'm not sorting through it. That's a lie. Thank you, Lord. Because once God shows me, I lay it down. I'm like, oh, that's bullcrap then. That's out. Done. You out. But the revelations is what I'm still walking through. You hear what I'm saying? The level of revelations that are going to come out of that. The truth that God wants to expose me to now that I'm free from that is what I'm still walking through. Like, okay, now that I'm free, what have I missed? And what can I teach as a result of what I've missed? Am I speaking to somebody today, or is this all for me? If I'm talking to you, let me see a hand. Encourage me a little bit. Thank you. As I shared last week, and I want to pick up from, we have a responsibility, and that's what God shared with me, and that's the thing that stuck with me, and he began to speak to me out of it this week, to commit our hearts to God. Not only is our responsibility, it's our privilege. to come to God with our hearts and our issues and our thoughts and the things that have been taught to us and everything else, and lay that before him. We have the right to hear from God. Tell somebody, you have the right to hear from God. The most powerful, creative being ever is giving me the right to hear from him, to dialogue with him, to talk to him, to walk through life with him. So now I become concerned about how often I'm eating right. Now, this is not me saying, see, you need to fast more, pray more, and go on spiritual, you know, retreats, and, you know, go up to the mountains and hide away. And I'm not asking anybody to do anything ridiculous. But are you listening to me?
Yes.
Sure?
Yes.
Just a slight change in your diet starts to make a difference to your body immediately.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just a slight change. So I'm just saying, just change something. Just whatever you're eating that you know is not good at all, just cut down on that. Cut a little less gossip, you know, a little more gossip out of your conversations. Especially Christian gossip. That's the most dangerous one. I want you to pray for somebody. Well, what happened? It's Christian gossip. Yeah, we need to pray for Sister So-and-so. Why? Because I heard, right? Somebody told me. Oh, you didn't hear? All right, I don't, you know what? You go pray for him. Keep that between you and God. I don't even know what you're praying for. And don't come to me again and tell me we need to pray for somebody with that spirit that's on you. I don't even want it. And I don't even want to know what you're praying for. Just go on and take that crap. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
This is real stuff. Just take it somewhere else then, because I can't use it. So let's go forward here. I'm still in Jeremiah 17. And I want to, let me see, maybe I'll go with 8. Let me see, I'm sorry, 7. Let's go with 7, because that's where we left off. Blessed and spiritually secure is the man who believes and trusts and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confident expectation is in the Lord, for he will be nourished like a tree planted by the water that spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green and moist, and it will not be anxious and concerned in the year of drought, nor stop bearing fruit. Let's talk about that. So the tree is flourishing because of what? Why is this tree? You can look at it. Don't try to get spiritual and deep. Just look at it, just what the word says. Why is this tree flourishing? Trust in God. What else, though? Okay, I'm hearing words here and there. Who said roots? Okay, who you said roots? What did you mean by that? Did you say roots? Okay, somebody said roots. Nobody raised their hand. Everybody was just yelling out stuff. You said roots? Okay, what do you mean? Okay, that's a truth. It's not the full truth, but that's part of the truth. Somebody said nourish. Did you mean the same thing?
Yes, nourished and planted by the water.
There's the thing. It's roots mean nothing if there's nothing to feed the roots. And the roots are fed by the water. Jesus referred to himself as the living water. It's not that it has roots. It's planted by the right water. No, you didn't catch that. It's not that it has roots. All trees have roots. It's where it's planted that makes the difference. It's where you're receiving your nourishment from that makes a difference. Are you understanding my whole little conversation now before we got to this? It's not that you're a tree and that you have or don't have roots. You're all plants. Some fall on good, stony. We went through all of that. You're all planted. You all have roots. Where are you planted, though? I'm like, who's I'm hearing Alexander Schofield. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm hearing preaching. You can't turn the phone off, even though she's like, I don't know, just step on it. Okay, I'm gonna keep going. Esther, people are all coming to help, running to your rescue. I can see you're not technology savvy yet. We got you. It's all good. Hey, Lisa was the word. So. You never know what's going to happen here live, right? All right. Okay, it's so beautiful. So listen, it's planted by rivers of what kind of water?
Living.
What kind of water?
Living.
So when I hear living water, my mind always goes to that. It means there's another kind of water. And what kind of water would that be? Huh? Stagnant or dead water. So just being by water is not enough. Talking about God in your spirit. God in your heart, God in what's going into your soul, your spirit man, that's what's producing life out of you. For out of it flows the issues of life. So he's saying you have to be a tree, but you have to be a tree that is chosen to be planted by water that has life in it. The moving, flowing water. That's right. You're absolutely right. Not stagnant water, but flowing water. Now, since you went there already, I was going to probably circle back to that, but since you already went there, let's just finish it. So what's the significance then in the stagnant water and the flowing water? What's the significant difference?
Disease.
Say it again?
Disease.
Go ahead. Why is it disease? Let somebody else answer. Go ahead, sis.
Because it's not moving.
Boom. Boom. So let's do that real quick. So the difference between living water and dead water in the place of your soul, are you listening to me? In the place of your spirit, are you listening to me? Is stagnant or moving? A dead water, they said, is stagnant water. Living water, stuff is flowing out. Stuff is flowing in. And you're not here. Okay, so no, stay with me this. This is deep. So here's what a believer planted by dead water looks like. They go to church. They're in a pond. Same message every week. Nothing coming in new. Nothing's going out. It's that same thing, same song. Same 15-minute message, praise dance, praise poetry, praise stepping, right? No new revelation. Nothing is going out. How's it go out? How's it go out? No, I'm talking about, we're talking about the difference in the water, right? It's coming in, it's stagnant. Is not going out. What would make it go out?
A pathway.
Who creates that pathway? You do. How do you create that pathway? I love this. Thank you, y'all. You are so involved. How do you move it? By share. Oh, give yourselves a hand. Right. Because you now go out with this revelation that you received, and now you take that out and you change lives. So, listen to me. This is so appropriate. So Kwame and I in the lobby, we talking, and Kwame says, you know, he was ministering to this guy and sharing with him the truth that he's been learning. And he shared something with the guy, and the guy said to him, "You a prophet?" And he said, I was like, "Nah." I said, "Let me ask you a question." He said, "Yes." I said, "Have you ever ministered something to him that you saw that was going to come to pass and it did?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "So then why not? That's prophetic." I said, "Here's the problem. You've put the messenger in a job title." So you made pastoring my job. That's not your job. Right? That's what you've done. I do this because this is what I do. But I'm telling you, you sit in this house, you sit under this anointing, and everywhere you go, you speak. Now, you may not think it's deep to me, but when you're saying it to them who don't know anything like what you know, they looking at you like you look at me like, "Oh, my God, this, you, whoo! You kicking some revelation here. Whew. I've been in church my whole life. I've never heard nothing like that." Right? You are the flow. And you are flowing in the prophetic anointing if you've accepted that in the teaching anointing, in the word of wisdom, in the word of knowledge. How could you not? You're filled with it. You come and get more every week. So unless you're spiritually constipated and you're keeping it all trapped up inside yourself, it's flowing out. And you're touching people with simple sentences where you're not even trying to preach. You're just saying your basic, you're just being your basic self, and you're understanding who you are and the truth that you have. And people are looking at you and they're being ministered to and they're being changed and they're being encouraged. And like, "Well, I remember when you used to freak out about everything and you just so calm now. I've been watching you for 3 years." There are people who come up to me when I work for Board of Education and Security that I wasn't, in my mind, called to do anything, but I've run into a lot of these students years later after they're grown, and they say, I never forget the time such and such and such. And I remember the time that you brought me to your house and your wife and your kids were there and how you were to your kids. And I remember it. I wasn't in my mind preaching, but I was living out of the truth that I had. And it was an example to them. And if you ask me a question or you get into a conversation, I'm going to give you my opinion. But my opinion is going to be based on the truths and the revelations that I have because it's in me. How could it be in you and not flow out of you? You have to intentionally, everybody in this room, not talk and not share your truth. And I know you don't do that. I know anybody who speaks to you, the truth that you have comes out. Why? Because you've been set free. And when they start sharing their bondage with you, you go, "Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, it don't have to be like that. No, no, that, Now, but you don't know how it is." No, you don't know how it is. I know how it is. That's your life. That ain't my life. And then right away, they start looking because they're like, "I'm going to see if that's really your life. I'm going to watch you for a minute." And then they'll start easing over when nobody's around, like Nicodemus. You got some of the coworkers that they'll come over to you when nobody else is watching. And start saying, "So tell me a little bit more about, you know, that thing, you know, that thing you was talking about yesterday. Tell me a little bit more about that." Right? Because you are affecting them. And that's how you become unstagnant water. You receive these truths. And then you look for the first opportunity you can to let it flow out the other side. Because once it flows out, can you please shake your boy? Move closer to your mom so she can pinch you every time you nod out. The truth is, that light. Okay. The light shines in the dark. The dark comprehends it not, the scripture says. You are the light. You are the salt of the earth. You have no choice. You have to choose to be an idiot. You have to choose. You can't know the truth that you know and not flow in it unless you just choose. I'm around this group of people, and I don't want them to think I'm churchy, so I'm going to choose to be an a-hole right now. I'm just going to choose to be an idiot and not be helpful or useful to anybody. You have to choose that. It's got to be a rough choice for anybody. Now, you are a light, and that light shines whether you announce it or not.
Come on. Yes, it does. Amen.
That light shines on you.
Amen.
Everybody looks at you and knows there's something different about you. Now, you talked about people, the word getting around the community. They coming back saying, you don't make people pray anymore? And I seen stopping you in the supermarket and want to talk to you about where you go to church now. What you got? Like, I've known you for years. This is a different person. Simple truth. A new diet. But you put it out. In other words, you got to eat it in. You got to let it out. It's a fact. It's a fact. You have to let it out. So God is using you as fertilizer. Other than that, it's a stagnant pond. You backed up. Full of stuff. You understand?
Yeah.
It flows through you to nourish you, but then it comes out of you as fertilizer to the world. I know this is a gross analogy, but just work with me. Because it's real. Come on now. That's how other things grow, from that fertilizer. Go ahead, right? Come on now. You're involved today. I'm loving this. So now, with that truth and with that revelation, stay with me. With that simple truth and that revelation, your spirit is fed, and as a result of what's fed into your spirit, you are now used to go out and fertilize the world. So what if your diet is junk?
Yeah.
Now we go back.
Yeah.
You don't have any nutrients coming out to feed anything. All you're doing is poisoning your insides. And then there's nothing coming out of you that's worth anything. You're not going to get good fertilizer out of a poorly fed anything.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what you said, but listen to me. You can't give nutrients out if none are coming in.
Yep, that's right.
And where your nutrients come from is the word.
Amen.
Okay, you agree.
Yeah.
So I'll ask again, what's your weekly diet? What are you feeding on 6 days a week before you come here Sunday to get some food? Again, I'm not talking about open up the Bible and read seven chapters. I'm not saying any of that. But even in your meditation time, when you belong, when you're alone with the Lord or alone yourself, do you ever sit down during the course of the week and have arguments with people that are nowhere around? Right? Something that happens, a memory comes up of something that happened to you 10 years ago, and you think about what you should have said, how the argument should have went, because you lost it when in reality, so now you're rehashing it so you can live it, so you can win it in your mind. You should have said that. I should have said, remember? And boy, if that ever happened again, I can't wait till I see them again because I'm going to be ready. What you don't know is they may be ready too. But my point is, this is your diet. Do me a favor, one of the ushers, take the baby, let the baby go upstairs so mommy and papa can pay attention to the message. Take him up there with the kids so he can have a good time. Bless you, baby. I don't know why I got to be the pastor and the usher at the same time, but if that's what I got to do, that's what I got to do. I know you're all so into the word that you're not, like, paying attention. I need you to have that multifaceted spirit that you could, like, still search the room. That's all on the message, so you'll know now. Anyway, I don't mind, though. That's what I do. I love it. So now, pay attention. Your spirit then gets fed by you interacting and having these conversations with God, not with that person who dissed you 10 years ago. Instead of taking your time to meditate on that evil foreboding of things that happened that went wrong, that could have went right, and what you could have said that you didn't say, and what, you know, why don't you take that time and have these interactions and conversations with God? And why don't you start visualizing and seeing the things that he has spoken over you and said that you are and who you're called to be and what he's called you to. And yeah, you're hearing me now, right? To use that time. See, the enemy wants to use that time for negative diet. That's negative crap. Nothing good's going to come out of that. Even if you can go back and have that argument again, it's still just an argument. Whether you won or they won, it doesn't matter. But if you take that time visualizing and having all these kind of interactions and conversations and meditate on who you are in Christ, who he called you to be, the dreams and visions that he's put in your heart, and start playing that out, now you're having a good diet of food. Now when you talk to people, you say, yes, this is who I am, and this is who I'm called to be, and this is what I'm believing. And all of a sudden now you're encouraging others with your story because it makes them feel hopeful. Did this help somebody? So I'm being very careful right now. Like I said, I don't want to watch the news. I don't want that negative stuff. I don't want to hear a cop shooting another person. I don't want to hear it. I need to keep my spirit fed with the things that God put me on this planet for.
Amen. Amen.
At least one person is happy about that.
Amen.
I want to know that I'm guarding my heart with all diligence, not with some diligence. I don't want to be on my church behavior when I'm in church. I want to be in the right spiritual place 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If there's more, I'll take it. But that's a practice. It just doesn't happen. You don't pray and say, well, God, change my mind. God, I received what Pastor said. Change my mind to be that. Amen. Okay, let me call my friend and see who I can gossip about. It doesn't work that way. You have to make a decision to be fed right. You got to make a decision not to eat everything that's before you. You don't want to hear me right now. Like I said, okay, I'm not saying don't eat cake, but just don't eat so much cake. Make your slices a little bit smaller. And don't bring the whole gallon of milk. Just put a cup full. Let's start making some changes. The changes make a difference. But we have to change what's fed to our spirit. So we're reading this verse and it says that those who are in the Lord will be entrusted in the Lord, not just in the Lord, but trust. It means trust you for your directions will be planted by rivers of living water, and they will never be parched, nor will their leaves dry out. You won't dry out because you're nourished by a stream of living water, not stagnant water. It can't be the same junk all the time. I've talked to people that have been in the Lord, and some of you meet them, know them, and you know what I'm talking about. Well, and I know the Lord. Okay, here we go. I remember back in 1965 when I came. God, you ain't heard nothing from God since 1965, and you still telling that same old story. You stagnant. You stagnant. I have stories to tell about what God has done with me. I can't keep up with every one of them from 1965. I have to really make myself remember, lest you talk about it. It's new things happening. His mercies are new every morning. My Bible says, I don't know if your God's ain't been new since 1965. Maybe you planted in some stagnant water. Because I'm not saying you're not a Christian. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you're not going to limp into eternity with half a leg. I'm not saying none of that's not true. I'm saying you don't serve much purpose now on this planet for God, for yourself, or anybody else. Blessed with spiritual security, verse 7 again, is the man who believes and trusts and relies on the Lord, and whose hopes and confidence and expectation is in the Lord. So we got two values here. You got to trust. He said you got spiritual security if you trust and rely. So trust and rely means I trust you, God, regardless of what it looks like. And I rely on you to bring me through, not my friends, not my connections, not my rich uncles, nobody else. If he chooses to use those, he will. But I don't depend on them. I have the talents. God gave me the talents, but I don't trust the talents. I trust the talent giver. I don't worship the created thing. I worship the creator. Do you see the balance? It's very easy for us to get cocky about the gift God gave us to the point we start to trust the gift over the gift giver. So I tell myself, and I tell my artists, and I tell the people who work with me now, Esther, what do I say before we get off the calls? Stay humble. You ain't heard it in a week, you forgot? No. Who remembers? Stay humble, stay grateful. You got it now, right? Put you on the spot, but there you have it. Stay humble, stay grateful. Why do I say that? Because I don't ever want to get to the place that I believe that the abilities that God gave me are my source. They're the abilities. And one change in my life can put an end to those abilities. One change. One change. One of many changes. I lose my sight, my abilities are hampered. Can I come back? Yes, but they're hampered. I lose my ability to hear, my abilities and my gifts are hampered. My hands, my feet, anything. So I have to always focus on the fact that my source is the gift giver, not the gift. So he's saying, trust who believes God, trust God, very important, and relies on the Lord. Now, he will be nourished like a plant by the water, or living water that spread out its roots by the river and will not fear when drought or heat or negativity tries to come. It will not even be moved. But your leaves will be green and moist. You will not be anxious or concerned in a year of drought. And here's what's important. Because church has taken this and twisted this into some negative thing that's not biblical. And here's what it says. Well, when you got to go through, you know, hard times got to come. But you know, you just keep the faith in the Lord and everything going to be all right. Whether I have nothing or everything, I got Jesus. Okay, wait a minute. Then all of this is a lie according to that false doctrine. Because he says in the very last lines, and you will not be anxious or concerned in the year of drought. What's the last line? Nor will you stop bearing fruit. So that means, you didn't catch that. You didn't catch that. You didn't catch that. Remember when we did the beginning? I mean, when we did the last message. I forgot the title just that quick. Protecting your seed. We talked about, and in the beginning, we got to this. We went right into the seed, and he's talking about, and these people who don't trust in the Lord will not see prosperity when it comes. It'll come, but they won't see it. He's going on to say, reiterate that. He's saying, listen, those who trust even in drought are not affected by the drought because they're still bearing fruit. See, you missed the point. You missed the point. Drought on a plant kills a plant. Never mind bearing fruit. You don't live. He's saying if your trust is in the Lord, in times of drought or trouble, not only will you not be anxious, your fruit will not be affected. So you're not going to die, but there's not going to be a store or a lack in deliverance or your fruit bearing coming to bear. Amen. He's saying in God, if you trust in him, there's never a time when you are in lack. I was young, and now I'm older, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed bear. Come on now, Ben. Listen, begging bread. Never. So he's saying, I don't know if you're catching this. I'm going to say it real slow. He is describing supernatural provision. Nothing that's happening around you affects what God's doing with you. It didn't say, and you will go through and you're going to starve like everybody else, but in the dawn and the morning come, in the land of milk and honey. It doesn't say any of that mess. It says clearly, you will not be affected by the drought at all. You're going to bear fruit. I've been doing it 20 years. I know what I'm talking about. When it looked like there was abundance, it looked like it was drought. We never missed anything. Never had to come in here and say, we need to raise a second offering because it's the chase the landlord away offering. Never. And we don't have to. There is a provision for those whose spirits are planted where they're constantly fed. This is where I want to bring it home today. Listen close. I started by asking you, how are you feeding your spirit? What's your diet like? You don't want a spiritual heart attack. You don't want your heart to give out on you. Then how are you feeding it? Is it a majority junk food diet? Or are you eating right? Most of us pretty much acknowledge, even though I didn't ask for a show of hands, I can see from your faces, a lot of us probably eat more junk than we eat good, wholesome spirit food. Are we honest? Are we going to change that? Yes. See, the thing is this. I don't want certain people talking to me because I know what they're going to try to fill my spirit with. They're agents. I don't care if they're Christians or not. They're agents. They have a job. And listen to me close. God told me this a long time ago when I was a baby Christian, and I never forgot it. He said, whenever you sit down and or ever you meet and talk with people, are you listening?
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
Are you listening? Yeah. One or two things are happening. Every time you talk to anybody, one of two things are happening. Every time. I'm going to drag it out a little bit just to get your one to answer. Ready? Sure? Either you're ministering to them or they're ministering to you. Without question, there's no in between. No in between. Either you're ministering to them or they're ministering to you. Now, I have a right to choose what I would have ministered to me. And if it's junk and small talk, I can choose not to be fed with that. So I don't even want to get around believers that talk. And you already acknowledged it before. When you get around people that say, well, you know, you got to do it out and you got to suffer. You're already knowing of. You're like, none of that mess. I'm not even trying to hear that. Because you've learned enough and you've seen enough biblical proof to know better than that. That's not even something you even have to debate. You probably don't even get into an argument with people no more. You're like, yeah, whatever with that. Living my best life. Right? My point is this. In this season, it's not enough just to make confessions. You listening? You now have a responsibility to protect the seed that you've planted or that you've allowed God to plant. You have a responsibility to do that and the privilege to protect the seed that God gave you. You have a responsibility and the privilege to care for something that God has put in you. A responsibility and a privilege to take good care of that baby that God has given you to nurture and grow. You have a responsibility and a privilege to be a partner with God into something that can change your life and lives around you because you're flowing water. You're not stagnant. So you're receiving something, and then what you're receiving is becoming food and fruit for other people. You have a responsibility and you have a privilege to change the whole environment of your life from thought to deeds to fears to worries and all that other junk that has been planted in you to purge that junk out. So that you can be filled with spiritual life. Don't tell me you can't hear God. You can hear God. God speaks all day, every day. It's that you've been so filled with the junk food diet of garbage that you can't separate what's God's voice from the other stuff. That's why the scripture said the word is like a two-edged sword dividing the narrow asunder of soul and spirit. Soul is where all that junk food goes. Spirit is where the truth goes. And the Bible says the asunder between them are so narrow that you can't tell the difference. That's why people will come up to you and say, and the Lord has said, and before they even finish their sentence, I said, what you about to say? God ain't say, ain't nothing but Satan speaking to you, Christian in awe, filled with the Holy Ghost, because you can't discern between soul and spirit. They're so close, only the word makes the division. So I usually come out with a scripture and go, well, according to the word right there, what you're saying is not of God. It's clearly not of God. The spirit in which it's coming from is not of God. You mean well, and you mean to say whatever you mean to say because it feels right to you, but your spirit is not in connection, because I can tell a person who is spiritually malnourished almost the moment they walk up to me. My spirit bears witness with it. So should yours. You have the right and the privilege to have that access. Unrestricted throne room access. That you can hear God as clear as you can hear somebody on your cell phone and better. And you don't have any dropout zones. There's no places where the signal is bad. The problem is our antennas have been tuned to junk food. We've been tuned to everyday life stuff, everyday issues and concerns, news all day. People come and put the channel on the news and just feed themselves all day with all kind of stuff that goes against what God has promised you. And then you expect to receive the promises of God. When your spirit out the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. You can't speak life because life is not in you, because you got a junk food diet and you're going to have a heart attack. What is a spiritual heart attack? When you're trying to believe and you're trying to summon up the power to trust God and believe, and you can't even get a spark out. You flatline. That's when you come to church. Pray for me. Pray for me. Clear. Clear. And after a while, I have to just say, put it on the clock. They died at such and such time. Our responsibility to eat right. It's our responsibility through our eyes, through our ears. It's our responsibility to take in. And then through our mouth, we speak out what we take in. What are you taking in? What are you taking in? Because that's what you're going to speak out. So I'll close on this. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Stop confessing and claiming victory when your diet is garbage. It won't work. It won't work. Why do pastor's prayers get answered like that? Because I balanced my diet, and now I'm even on a stricter diet. So when God told me 2 weeks ago, I want you to fast the news, I said, okay. So now somebody comes and says, you know, you hear about Trump and what happened? I'm in this world. I'm not of this world. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to have a conversation about it. I don't want my spirit filled with that garbage. I need to be clear so I hear God. Amen?